You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
But in any case.
Anyways.
We're going to talk about France.
We're going to talk about France. We're going to get a 1990s groove on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a lot of we've been very heavy 1980s stuff, and I know that last time we talked we were 70s stuff because we talked Greece.
Yes, that's true.
Yep. So
I'm kind of big on 70s 80s as far as nostalgia goes. 90s, you know, it's a little closer and it's not quite as nostalgic for me because it was a little bit more of, you know, I was the grown up in charge by the time we got to the 90s, you know.
Right.
But.
Right.
Yeah, but it's still, when you think about it, you know, 25th anniversary, that's a pretty good block of time that's gone by since the show first went on the air, so.
Yeah, it's definitely getting its status with, you know, retro, if you will, you know, based
it's
on.
It's true.
Yeah, and I just, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me to think that, you know, it's 25 years.
I know.
I'm like, I can't believe that much time has passed. And much like you, you know, things are in the 90s don't feel like they should be, you know, retrograde to me. But here we are, you know, and
yeah,
you're bringing your suggestions up like the Matrix. And I'm like, wow. you know, and then you know, expand that. That could be even Toy Story. That could be.
That's right. Toy Story was big at my house.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Jurassic Park.
Yeah. True. Jurassic Park was a good one.
Yeah, so I mean, all those, you know, those movies, you know, even I think, yeah, Titanic was even 90.
Yes, so. Titanic was not 1990, but I won't watch Titanic anymore. It's too harrowing.
I was flipping channels today, and I actually stopped because it was on. And my favorite part was on. My favorite part is the part where he had been invited to go, Jack Dawson's invited to go have dinner with everybody because he saved Rose. Mm-hmm. And so he gives this big speech about how, you know, I've got everything I need. I've got, you know, air in my lungs. I've got, you know, a few blank pieces of paper so I can draw on. You know, I'm mm-hmm. good. I'm making every day count. And then all of a sudden, he like got the whole table, you know, being positive for him. And I was like, yeah. And I just love that message.
Yeah, that was a nice turning point. And he had a great attitude. It's a shame. But it's a shame what happened to him.
Yeah, it is.
Spoiler alert for those of you who don't know Titanic.
So. Yes. Yes.
But in any case, yeah, I can't. I watched it once. And I started hyperventilating in the theater. So I couldn't watch it ever again.
What? So, like, the part where they're sinking?
Yeah, well, it was kind of personal for me. All right, like I said, I kind of explained that in the 90s, I was raising little kids.
Right.
And you remember the scene with the, I think that there was an Irish woman who had two little children? Those two little children were about the age of my kids. And that one little girl looked like my daughter.
Okay.
And that quite upset me because they all drowned.
Yeah.
And that was just too close to home to watch that little girl and her brother and her mom. It got to me. And that was it. I was like, I don't need to see that again. I don't think I ever need to see that again.
Yeah, and all honesty, you know, all the times that I've, you know, throughout these years that I've turned it on and it was like at a certain part, I only watch like a certain section of it and then I just move on. I don't think I've ever seen like the actual like ending part where like, you know, everybody's drowning and the boat's going down since the first time I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. And like I said, I got I wanted to get up and leave at that point. It was just too, it was a little rough on me. But I made it through and I got to the end, but I didn't feel the need to ever watch it again. I kind of, like you're saying, maybe watch like the romance part.
Right.
When it showed up here and there on television, because it really is a beautiful story.
It is.
A beautiful love story. And they're, you know, they're a wonderful couple. And it is a nice message in the end, you know, that she goes on and kind of lives her life, his life for him.
Right.
Too, you know, thinking of him. But, yeah, just the effects were so, real. They just rang too true. And that was enough. You know, it's like,
I get it.
Once you're a mom, you feel really protective,
right?
And you don't like to see people dying en masse. It just doesn't have the same appeal as when you were a young person.
Yeah, and you know, there's like many movies that are like that, where you know they're based on some sort of real event, and you know they're somewhat tough to take in, unlike, you know, the fantasy part of, you know, a movie that has like a lot of killing. Like, you know, you could watch a gangster movie and go, oh, okay, mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's cool. You know, Goodfellas, you know, whatever, you know, they killed another guy. No big deal.
I can't watch those anymore.
Well, I guess I'm more tolerable, you know, like Scarface, yeah, or something like that. I'm all, you know, all right, well then, you know, that's just Tony Montana. That's the way he's doing it. That's his thing.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a little more cartoon violence than others. Like Goodfellas was a little more, that was kind of a real story. That was a real book. And I'm Italian and I'm from New York.
Right.
And to watch those movies, I mean, I'm not going to get into, you know, this whole bit about, well, such and such offends me. It didn't offend me, but it does kind of hit close to home when I hear people who sound like my father, because he grew up in the Bronx. And they're all Italians, you know, with New York accents, brutally murdering each other. You know, it just it bothers me. It's something I don't want to hear. You know, I
get okay.
Like nightmare flashbacks.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah.
So.
Well, I could see how that would affect you then. Yeah, and yeah, it's seeing how I never lived in that world or was close to that world, it doesn't affect me like that. But,
I get very emotional. I really do. I don't.
You know, I was going with, you know, if you look at things like, you know, that are based on, you know, something that we know is very tragic or something. And Titanic is a perfect story of that, where you go, this really happened. You watch Saving Private Ryan. You watch Schindler's List. You go, my God, people really went through this and experienced this. And this is probably as close to that real life experience that we're ever going to see on a film. So that part of it where it's like, because I relate to those, you know, that as the event that happened in history, I'm like, God, this is as close as I'm going to get to seeing what they went through. And it's tough. It's tough to kind of get that.
That's true. I've been to that, the Titanic Museum exhibit, which has traveled around the country. In fact, I think I saw it twice. I think I saw it more than once.
Okay.
And that was very interesting as well, because you actually got to see, you know, the dishes that were still packed in racks that they got off the ocean floor, and they show you the picture of when they found it, and it's full of moss, and there's, you know, fish,
right,
floating around it. And, yeah, that was very interesting, too. And at least I didn't have to see people screaming and drowning at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to see people's clothing and their combs. And they really tried to pull a lot of things from the real artifacts and such and bring them into that story. You know, you got to see some of them in person just sitting right in front of you. It was neat.
Yeah, I would be worried about things like, you know, having some sort of like spirit residue on them or something, you know, but if you believe in the afterlife, but I'd be like, ah, my God, you know, just it's what the way I felt when I was in Hawaii and I visited the USS Arizona, which was a Pearl Harbor, and the memorial is built right on top of where it sunk. And when you walk into the memorial, you'll see all of the names of everybody that died that day. and you go, wow, this is way more impacting than anything that, you know, they would, you know, show me on film, or I would see, you know, they show you like a video before you go out to the memorial and see it. But then you see all those names, and it was just, it's crazy. It's just absolutely, it's like going to the Vietnam War Memorial at, in DC, you know, you see all the, you know, all the soldiers that died, during the Vietnam War. And you're like, this is, you know, it's so impacting because there's so many names, and you're like, how many people do I know that, you know of these people or have some sort of relation to them or whatever? And then it hits you. And it's like, this is, yeah, this is, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know how to act.
It's true. It's affecting.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, we got, like, you know, way, like.
Yeah, way off track from just 90s. Yeah. Titanic led us down a very bad path.
Yeah, very somber. We need to lighten this up.
Okay.
Right.
In any case, so let's talk about a comedy.
Please. Please, let's do that. All right, so let's see. We are still
no
recording.
Friends.
Yes. Okay, so let me do the intro here.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I am just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh, I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
This is Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I have got Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Yeah. Great. Great to be back.
I am so happy that you once again are joining us. This time, as we were talking a little bit before, you know, we had decided that Suzanne and I have talked some, you know, in this case, two 70s topics. We were talking about a little bit more of Jack Wilde and H.R. Puff and stuff like that from before in the 70s, and then we also talked about Grease. This is our first time tackling something from the 90s. Suzanne's been doing awesome stuff with Scott talking about 80s New Wave, which is a fantastic series. I'm, you know, every time I miss it, I feel a little, you know, I feel a little guilty about that because I'm like,
yeah,
oh, that's
feel bad.
Yeah.
But, you should join back in.
Well, you know, and it's, you know, it's just bad timing. We have you know, we've got people just trying to coordinate with, you know, our personal lives, you know, and you know, you've got to establish a boundary and a line that says, you know what, family's first before a hobby, and this is a hobby, so
sure. Okay.
So, you know, and you know, if I've got a thing going on with my wife or going on with my daughter, that's gonna take over. That's just the way it is. But, you know, luckily tonight.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, luckily tonight, I'm free. So, yeah. And so are you. So, which is great. So, the 90s topic that we decided to talk about was very apropos for what's going on right now. This weekend is the 25th anniversary of the Friends TV show. So, as soon as I said 90s topic, that's what was in my brain, and then I started communicating with you, Suzanne, and what was your first suggestion?
Friends, yeah.
Yes. So we were, like, in the same wavelength. It was great.
Yeah, well, maybe it's out there on social media a lot this week for that same reason, too. But I've seen a couple of Friends articles and such flying around that I thought were kind of interesting. So, and, it, you know, considering that it went 10 years, it was kind of a – one of those defining shows, you know, between that and Seinfeld, I think that they ruled as far as what our collective television consciousness was. You know, everybody was either you were relating to Friends or relating to Jerry and his buddies. So,
well, I think in some respects I probably related to both. God, they're just so damn funny, both of those shows. But to stay on topic, if given the main characters that we're talking about for Friends, we're talking about Rachel, we're talking Monica, we're talking Phoebe, Joey, Chandler, Ross.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick one of those that you think you are most like, who would it be?
I suppose it would be Monica, to a certain degree. I don't know. I'm not exactly straight on Monica.
Okay.
But I'm definitely kind of obsessive, neurotic, not necessarily toward cleaning, but, you know, and very, you know, career oriented and so that, I guess I would be Monica.
So because of the drive you have then.
I think so. And maybe being the one who always has to be the hostess. How about that? Like, I know she's the hostess because she's a chef.
Right.
But I kind of, have a little bit of a control freaky thing going on now and then too, as far as, you know, we were talking about these big get togethers. I become like the hostess who's just obsessed. Like, there's the one episode where Monica, they end up in Joey and Chandler's apartment. And she decides, like, she has to redo the whole apartment, and she's waxing the floors, and, like, by the end of the night, she's falling over, going to sleep, practically, saying, I'm always the hostess. I'm always the hostess. You know, it's like, if you're not the hostess, just the world is not right. So, you know, I kind of feel like in another life I was a party planner, and, you know, that's, you know, one of my obsessions.
Okay. All right, well, then I can see how there would be a tie there. But you're saying the cleaning aspect, you don't have that kind of neuroticism?
No, I'm not like OCD, you know, clean everything. I'm, you know, when I'm upset, I will clean things.
Okay.
When I'm upset, maybe I will, you know, I will get a little obsessive, and that's just like that I work out some tensions that way. But I am not Miss I Need Everything to Be Perfect. That is not me. I am like, I don't have time for perfect. Don't even talk to me about it. You see something around you don't like, you clean it up yourself.
You're not like walking around going, that pot holder's out of place. Go.
No. Okay. I am not that girl. I'm not that girl. Now, you know, I keep everything nice and all, but I do not, I'm not OCD obsessive about that kind of thing.
I guess
I'm more like neurotic in my own head about, you know, getting things done. Like, I have to get things done.
So I gotcha. So it's more of the the drive.
Right. Because I couldn't really be a Rachel. I am not in any way princessy. I just am not. And Phoebe is just, you know, is on some other planet. And other than maybe her singing and writing songs, I couldn't be Phoebe. So I guess I'm Monica.
Yeah, maybe just a tad Phoebe with the artistic influence.
Yeah, maybe a tad Phoebe.
Right. So it's probably a 3/4 Monica, a quarter Phoebe for you then.
Okay, I guess I'll go with that.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm just speculating. Like,
nothing against Rachel. Just right.
Oh, nothing at all. No. I guess if I had to pick one person that I probably am the most like, I've got to be Chandler.
Really?
Yeah, and it's the sarcasm. It's what's always driven me for I don't know how long. And, you know, there's so many things that, you know, when you're watching Chandler being, you know, and like there was like one of the episodes where he's in his office and he stops his boss and he goes, oh, by the way, how do you get around the firewall so I can get to the good porn? And the guy goes, Bing, you're funny. And he just keeps walking. He goes, I wasn't kidding. And you know, and to me, you know, I get that humor and I use humor like that at work. And, you know, I kind of, you know, make light of a situation just for the betterment of everybody. And sometimes, you know, it falls flat, of course, because, you know, there's times to make jokes. And I think Chandler is like that. you know, where he's like, you hear that sarcasm, you get the audience laughing, but, you know, to the rest of their friends, it's just like, just shut up. So, I'm kind of that guy.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, it's good to have you around to break the tension when we need to, so... And I love Chandler. I mean, you know, once again, I love all of them. But sometimes I just so miss Joey and Chandler. You know, I wish they could have gone on and had their own series forever. You just got to love Joey and Chandler.
Yeah, they're a good bromance.
Definitely. And at least they're living on, you know, at Netflix world.
True. Very true. You can jump in and watch every single mm-hmm. episode, which my daughter has.
My son has too. Both my kids have. My nieces and nephews, everybody's watching it these days.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. My daughter, she actually did a friend of hers did a graduation photo shoot with like a whole bunch of girls that, you know, all graduated in the same class. And they got custom made t-shirts that said the one where they graduate.
Aww.
That was hilarious. Great. That was fantastic.
That is great.
Yeah. So, Friends has definitely influenced her and a lot of her friends because they even did a short video where they did the scene where they're all like falling over on the couch, you know, like the friends at the beginning, the intro scene. So they have uh-huh. that one sequence where they're all getting on the couch and they're all sitting a certain way. So they uh-huh. they did that too, where they kind of reenacted that when they had like a sleepover wow. at somebody's house.
See, they just have really inspired just a second generation of viewers. It is great.
Yeah, it great. Is fantastic.
And I did like this was one of the articles that I read where they said that Friends is a Generation X show, but it's not really recognized as such. And why not? Well, I don't know. When I was watching it, I didn't really feel it was a Generation X show, and I don't feel like I'm a Generation Xer. I'm kind of like caught between Generation X and the end of the baby boomers, but I related to Friends anyway. You know, maybe that's just a little transcendent. I was maybe a little bit older than Monica, and from what, you know, I looked up a couple of things this afternoon, and there was some discrepancy as to what age she was when the series started. You know, I think they changed their minds after the first year.
Right.
And made her younger than they originally started out, you know, saying she was. But I felt like I was only a couple of years older than Monica when that series started. And I remember watching it from the very beginning. But yet, even though I related pretty heavily, I was kind of past that stage, you know, where they're kind of starting out and they're all trying to get their careers together and, you know, push through all the things that are happening in their relationships and such. And by that time, like I said, I had just gotten married, you know, so I wasn't doing the same things that they were doing, but I still felt like they were contemporary to me. So, you know, maybe people are still watching it now saying that they relate enough that it feels contemporary to them too. It's interesting.
Hey, after you said that, I was trying to put level set in my brain. What would make it a Generation X show? Like what is it that is about the Friends formula that makes it that?
I don't know. They were relating it a little bit kind of to Reality Bites. And, you know, there were a couple of like slackery movies around that time.
Right.
Yeah. Like I said, I didn't completely buy into the concept, but I think maybe it does reflect that in betweenness. You know, I think that was like the essence of the show where you're not really, you know, you're an adult, you're out on your own, but you're not really settled. You're waiting for your career to happen. You're waiting for the right guy to come along. And, you know, maybe that was kind of like at that point, that's where a lot of the Generation Xers were, I guess.
That makes sense. That makes sense because what I was thinking in my head was that the show didn't focus on their careers so much. It was more around their relationships and what they were doing to just enjoy each other. So it wasn't a show that, you know, like we've all had in the past where we've had shows that centered around a business place or, you know, a particular job function.
Or family sitcoms. That
right.
I think Friends and Seinfeld came along and family sitcoms from the 80s went out the window, you know?
So
and
right. So sorry, so yeah, it wasn't anything like, you know, something like the Cosby Show or something like that, where you had a successful career and that was a big focal point. You know, it was around what these, you know, how these people are interacting with each other. And sure, they've got life dramas that they're working themselves through, but it's more around their interaction with their group of friends than, mm-hmm. you know, their careers. You know, because we did see, you know, Monica going through, you know, several chef jobs. Ross was always Dr. Geller and always doing his, you know, I forget what type of doctor he was. It was a he studied dinosaurs.
Yeah, he's a paleontologist.
Yeah,
right.
Right. There you go. So you know, I mean, they're successful in their own fields to a certain degree, and then you know, Joey being an actor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
But they all seem to be kind of floundering through it for a while. Maybe not Ross because he was the older one.
Right.
You know, he was the oldest of them. And I think they were more, he was more floundering in the relationship area because he had just gotten divorced when the series started. But I remember reading that they pitched the show as this is the time of your life when your friends are your family. You know, you've left your family and you haven't started your own family yet, but you kind of make a family out of those people who you're struggling along with, you know? So it was a cool concept.
The one part about the show that really kind of bugged me, and even to this day, you know, they're in New York. They go to a popular coffee place, Central Perk, and nobody's ever sitting on that couch. It's always available to them.
That's true.
What kind of credibility do these guys have that we just didn't know about, you know? The only time that there was like that one episode where the bullies, where they
That's
had people
right.
that were sitting, yeah,
and stole like Chandler's hats,
yeah,
they stole his baseball cap, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was Ross and Chandler, and then all of a sudden they wouldn't go to the coffee shop, and then they had to like make lattes at home with like powder, and they stirred up, keep stirring.
That's right. But I guess, I don't know, didn't they like live up in that same building or something? Like they would talk about, oh, I'm just going to go back upstairs. So I have to assume that maybe they were down there at all different types of times of day when it wasn't like big coffee shop hour, you know, or what have you. I don't know. Maybe I'm just making up excuses for them, but that's kind of what I would guess. It's the justification, but... You know, I didn't really think about it that hard.
You gave it a pass. You're like, I'm not going to worry about that. That's their couch.
Yeah. Well, really, okay, so what bugged me, and I know I've heard a million people have said this, that, okay, they're in New York City. She's, you know, skipping around from chef job to chef job. You know, she's 26 years old, however old Monica is. And she's in this huge, cavernous, gorgeous apartment that, you know, supposedly the reason was that it was a rent-controlled apartment that was actually her grandmother's. But even so, do you know how much money that would cost for an apartment of that magnitude in Manhattan? It would be more than what I pay for my house. So to me, that was just like, why do they keep, you know, they're perpetuating these false expectations for people who are like heading to New York City thinking they're going to make it big and live in this gorgeous, great big loft apartment with purple walls, you know? Yeah. Just not going to happen.
Yeah, you'd be lucky to get a studio.
I know. It's true. Jeez. My brother lived in Manhattan when he was first starting out, and the bathroom was in the hallway with a lock on it, with a padlock that you had to open up. And he, you know, like his closet, like the bathtub was like under the closet or something. Like it was ridiculously. It was like the whole... I think this office I'm sitting in right now is like the size of the apartment he was able to afford when he first moved to the city. So,
yeah, that's a way more realistic.
Yeah, it's true. And it's scary. So, you know.
And I would think something like that would be a little more difficult to, you know, have a bunch of cameras in. So I get the mechanics of it. So,
ironically, my brother's a cameraman.
Well, hopefully he doesn't set it up like a soundstage. So.
Yeah, no problem. No, he's out of there. He's long out of there. But in any case, But, you know, we shouldn't really kind of pick on the things that were silly because, you know, you have to suspend your disbelief with any of these kind of shows anyway, so.
Yeah, no, and I just wanted to start, you know, put that out there, but I think what might be fun to talk about is, you know, if we go through each character and we, you know, what was your, like, favorite moment with each character? You know, not necessarily an episode. We don't have to go through an episode, but, you know, if there was, like, a favorite, like, bit, you know, that's just memorable for that character. Starting off with Rachel, could you think of one?
Let's see. Rachel, I think, you know, I liked the fact that this show was very frank, that they talked like I talked with my friends. They didn't really, I mean, people complain, maybe my husband complained that, you know, they're really, at the time, they didn't hold an awful lot back. But there was one moment when it was kind of early in the series when Monica and Rachel were babysitting Ben, right? And they were tossing him up in the air, and they whacked his head on one of the rafters. And he got, you know, like a big lump on his head, and they were trying to keep him from not ratting them out by saying Monica Bang, right? He learned how to say one thing the whole time he's in. So they're like saying, no, we all do this. We all bang our heads, and they're whacking Monica and Rachel now, whacking their heads against the same rafter. Monica Bang, Rachel Bang, everybody bang. And Rachel like rubs her head and she says, you know, if it's not a headboard, it's just not worth it.
I love it.
I just thought that was hysterical.
Wow. I don't even remember that line.
It's a good one.
I'd have to go look that one up.
Yeah, that's my favorite Rachel line. But like I said, it was kind of early in the series. I think that they were more authentic as far as how people really react in the world in the beginning of the series than in the end. I think they got a little cartoony at the end, actually. Right. Everybody was a little bit exaggerated. But that was my Rachel moment. Did you want to take one?
Yeah. Well, first off, you know, I mean, like every red-blooded American male, you know, Jennifer Aniston was, you know, Jennifer Aniston. But the one that always comes to mind when I think of Rachel is the cheesecake episode, where you know, they keep finding cheesecake on somebody else's doorstep, and then they go, well, what if that person isn't here anymore, you know, and this cheesecake is just going to go bad anyway, so we might as well just take it and enjoy it. And so her and Chandler keep getting, you know, free cheesecake, and then they go so far as to, like, try to split it up, you know, down the middle or whatever, and he cuts it, and then she's trying to decide which one's bigger. And the funniest part was at the end for me was when they were in the hallway and, like, you know, he had spilled his, and then she made him spill hers.
Fighting over.
Right. And then all of a sudden they're on the hallway and they're sitting there trying to pick at the cheesecake on the floor.
Because they dumped it on the floor.
Yeah, because they dumped it on the hallway floor.
Get a fork, don't tell anybody.
And then along comes Joey. And he's got a fork in his own jacket. He goes, "What are we eating?"
Yeah,
and he just starts digging in with them.
They also like are eating the cheesecake off the floor. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
But and the reason why it's also memorable for, you know, the you know, how likable Jennifer is, you know, as far as her looks. There was, in that particular episode, she wore a lot, she had like this brown leather pants kind of ensemble. And it was just kind of like, you're killing it, girl. You're just killing it.
Yeah, they always looked great, every one of them.
Oh, you know, they were fabulous.
They were gorgeous.
Yeah.
And Courtney Cox, I mean, Jennifer Aniston was pretty cute, but I think Courtney Cox is probably one of the most beautiful women who've ever been on television. She's just gorgeous.
Yeah, she is. She is. I mean, Lisa Kudrow also, in her own respects.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so. And she had all those cute hairstyles with the knots that she would do in her hair that, you know, the girls are still doing that. I think it was originally a Phoebe Buffay thing.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, going back to Jennifer, you know, she, I mean, everyone started calling that haircut the Rachel.
I know.
Yeah, so, you know, that was a trend setting right there.
Right. Another great Rachel moment.
Yeah, exactly.
When her mother was getting divorced and started hanging around with her and, like, practically moved in with her and Monica, Jennifer Aniston, Rachel said, couldn't she just copy my haircut? And that was pretty funny, considering that the entire country had been copying her haircut,
yep. You
know, for previous seasons. So they were good to, you know, they were good to find an authentic joke, you know.
So, all right, so moving on to Monica. Favorite Monica moment.
Monica, favorite Monica moment.
Well, I'll throw mine out there while you're thinking.
Okay, you throw yours out there.
There was the episode where the relationship with Chandler was just kind of in its infancy and just starting, and they didn't want to tell anybody. They were in the tub together. They had candles out, drinking wine, and you know, it was Chandler and Monica, you know, in the bubble bath, and you know, it was a very romantic kind of moment. And it was just funny to me was that was right when Joey pops in, and you know, of course, she starts to give Chandler a whole bunch of headache for that, but Monica is like holding her breath underneath the water. You know, because she doesn't want to be discovered that, she, you know, she's with Chandler, let alone naked in a bathtub, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of those things where Joey's like, well, you know, are you hungry? You want something? And he goes, no, I'm fine. Just leave. I'm fine. And then all of a sudden she pops up and she goes, I can eat.
Like, give me two pieces of chicken or something.
yeah, because he was getting chicken. She's like, yeah, I could have some chicken.
Yeah, and the thing is that Monica supposedly was this obese girl at one point who never stopped eating. So,
right.
You know, I don't know how you morph from that person to the girl that she ended up being, but, you know, we bought that too.
We did.
Maybe some of those flashback type scenes with her in the fat suit, those were some pretty funny moments.
Oh, they were.
Those are some pretty hilarious moments.
Yep.
But thinking now, if I have to pick a Monica moment, and this was kind of a Monica and Ross moment, there was one episode where they were going on the dance show for New Year's Eve.
Right.
And Monica and Ross did the routine, I'm using like air quotes, that they had done in like middle school, and they did this little dance where they had this really corny choreography, and that was just hysterical when they when they did that dance.
Yeah,
it was. But other than that, yeah, the flashbacks when she's in the fat suit and she like thinks she's gonna lose her virginity to some doctor she's dating, that was a pretty good scene too.
Yeah. All right, so Phoebe.
Phoebe had a lot of really good scenes. I don't know. Okay, so this was a pretty funny moment. Once again, they're all usually in these moments together.
Oh, of course.
So, okay.
Yeah, I understand that, but go ahead.
So Phoebe decided for some reason, I can't remember what it was, that she was going to be Monica's masseuse?
Yeah.
Masseur?
Yeah.
So she brings the table and she's giving Monica a massage, and Monica starts making all these really like intimate moaning noises and such. And Phoebe's trying really, really hard to get through this without like it getting any weirder. And then finally she just throws up her hands like, I can't do this anymore, Monica. I can't do this anymore, Monica. She's like, you're making sex noises. No.
Oh, that was a great Phoebe moment. And Monica moment too.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's good. I was just remembering that. It's tough not to say Smelly Cat.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, Smelly, I mean, that's kind of the obvious one. But if I were to not pick on the obvious one, there was an episode where she was so anti going to, I guess it's called Pottery Barn. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but, yeah, at this point, she was living with Rachel, and Rachel kept buying stuff, but then making up this backstory of what this, you know, this table or this desk was an apothecary.
Apothecary table.
So she make up all this, but then Ross is not buying it because he knows exactly that it's from Pottery Barn, because he's buying the same stuff for his apartment. It's just hilarious because at the end where they're going through, going right past Pottery Barn, and she's like, you know, are you trying to tell me that you're going to move out, talking to Rachel, that you're going to move out unless we go by that lamp right now? Are you telling me that? She goes, I didn't say that, but you're going to move out, right? Right. She goes, Oh, yeah, I will. So,
yeah, because Phoebe had a tendency to like sell out. Like, for the laugh, you know, right. Like for our benefit. Because I do remember the episode that she decided that it was okay to wear the mink coat because she caught a glimpse of herself in the mirror and was like, oh, look at this. This is a great coat.
Yeah. All right, so Joey.
Joey. Oh, okay. Now, once again, a million freaking Joey moments. But, all right, so a funny Joey bit was when they're in somewhere. Was it when they were in Las Vegas, I think? Where he notices that one of the dealers has the same kind of hands as him.
Yes.
And he starts stalking hand this twins. Guy. Like, yes. We're hand twins. And he starts stalking this guy into the bathroom to, like, introduce himself and say, we're going to make all this money. We're hand twins. Like, he made up a little song. He starts singing to the guy. This is your hand. This hand is my hand.
Oh, hand twins.
That was a little, I mean, it was bizarre. Like, who thinks of that kind of thing?
Joey.
Yeah, who thinks of that kind of thing? That was just so you could only be Joey yes. and do that, pull it off.
Oh, that's good.
No, once again, all his moments were funny.
Yeah.
Similarly, he pretended to be a twin. He, like, hired a guy to pretend to be his twin so he could audition or something or go. Maybe it was, like, a medical test they were going to pay money for. At a lab or something, and he tried to pass the guy off as his twin brother. He was just like berating him for not doing it well enough in the waiting room and stuff. The guy's like, "God, I'm trying."
Joey's great.
Yeah.
I have two. I have two for Joey.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember if it's the same episode or not, and it may have been. But one is when instead of saying it's a moot point, he was saying it's a moo point.
It's a moo point.
Yes. Yeah, because that's what a cow thinks.
Okay, you're cracking me up now.
So it's such great Joey moment. The other one that always comes to mind is when he gets air quotes wrong. You know, like I'm air quoting now, sorry. You know, and Chandler's going, you're doing it wrong. So I absolutely loved, and back to what you were talking about before, the bromance between those two, because you needed the Chandler yelling at Joey during all of those moments.
Yeah. You know, but they still loved each other. And yeah. He practically supported Joey all that time. I mean, who does that?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what comes to mind, you know, for Joey. All right, so then we're over to Chandler.
Over to Chandler. Yeah, I get a lot of good moments. Well, first off, okay, once again, this is a Monica moment, too. The episode where he's pretending he doesn't really want to get married because somehow I think he thought that he was going to drive her away if he did or something. And then in the end, she proposed to him with all the candles and they're on their knees facing each other in the dimly lit stage. I mean, that was a beautiful moment. That was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
let's see. What other moments for Chandler? I think that Chandler had some really funny moments with Janice.
Oh my God, Janice.
And Janice was funny. Oh. Janice was underrated.
God, her voice annoys me even to this day.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Chandler.
Yeah. Chandler, you love me, Chandler Bing. You just don't know you love me. Then there was one episode when, for some reason, he was trying to convince Janice not to break up with him. And they were in the coffee shop. And she was telling him that he was annoying and needy or something to that effect. And she was literally like limping away, and he was like grabbing her leg and like had her high heel leopard print shoe in his hand, you know, like, no, don't leave.
Oh, man. And to have her be the one that's telling you you're annoying.
Yes. You're whiny. Oh, no, maybe that was Ross. Ross was the one that she told was whiny after a while because he was depressed. But, yeah, there was a moment where she had to get away from Chandler and, like, literally separated herself and had to walk out with the one shoe, you know, just, like, clomping through the coffee shop. But
So for me, the Chandler thing that came to my mind earlier was the one where him and Joey have free porn. And so they don't want to turn the TV off. They don't want anybody to get near the TV. It's got the free porn's on. Let's stay away from it. And
yeah, they wouldn't turn it off for like 3 days or something.
Exactly. And so Chandler comes back after getting them a pizza. He's coming back and he goes, You won't believe what just happened. I went there, and there was a girl that was at the pizza parlor, and we didn't have sex. It's like he was almost expecting that, you know. It's like, because that's what everyone else is doing right here, because they're watching it.
That's what happens on the network we're watching. Yeah. So. Okay, good one.
Yeah, so many good Chandler moments, though. You know, and like I'd mentioned before, you know, the part where he's talking as boss and he says, I had to get around the firewall so you can get to the good porn, you know, things like that. You know, I just love Chandler in every way.
Yeah. There were some good moments when he did the work laugh, the episode where he did the work laugh with his boss.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yes.
Like, what the hell is that? What are you doing?
And I think she even like incorporated her own like laugh, you know, because she had to be impressive to the boss. And
right, she created a work laugh too. Right. And it was just like
because
cackle that was absolutely ridiculous.
Because he would say something stupid, the boss would say something stupid, and so Chandler was getting by doing his fake laugh, and you know, and everybody's kind of like looking at Monica and like, what? Don't you get it?
You know, it's funny because I have a work laugh.
Oh, you do?
Like, I can't giggle like it's at work. Because I work with all, like CEOs and such in the high tech industry. And you just can't, like, giggle like you have to. So I kind of have a different laugh that I use. I try not to giggle like a little girl.
More like a guffaw.
Yeah, well, kind of. Yeah, like okay. More of like a ha 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 type of thing.
I got you. All right.
This little bubbly laugh that I do. That's more fun. It used to be on my theater resume.
Oh, yeah, you have a professional laugh?
Can giggle on cue.
Can giggle on cue. All right, so we're at Ross.
Ross. Oh, my God. Wait, that's an easy one. The Moist Maker Sandwich.
Moist Maker Sandwich.
Do you remember the Moist Maker Sandwich?
I don't.
It was like a post-Thanksgiving thing where Monica made him this special sandwich where she would soak a piece of the bread in the gravy from the turkey and then make this like club sandwich for him. And then he took it to work and one of the other professors ate it.
Okay, I remember that part of it. I just forgot what it was called.
Yeah, he had a rage episode
over
the Moist Maker turkey sandwich that one of the other professors ate and threw away. So he ended up on like some kind of medication where he was just like so loopy.
Yeah, he has like an anger treatment or something, right?
So, right. They suspended him from work or something. Right. And then, you know, he had to go on this medication where it was just like, yeah, now I feel great. But when he was screaming at the professor, "You threw away my set! You threw it away!"
Ross was so great at going over the top with his emotions.
He was.
Yeah.
More and more as the series went on, I think they all went a little over the top.
But well, yeah.
Yeah, he was probably the first one to hit that note.
Yeah, I can't let this episode go without doing pivot. Pivot. I still use that.
Pivot. ads.
I do that get when ads. My wife and I are moving something. I'm gonna drop a pivot. It's just I have to.
That was a great moment.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, I have done that. I got a couch. Well, not just me personally, but me and three roommates were trying to move a couch into an apartment, and it got stuck in the stairway. It got stuck in the freaking stairway.
Somebody had to start yelling pivot, right?
No, but this was pre-pivot.
This was pre. Okay.
Like 85 or something.
Okay.
And then the couch got wedged in the stairwell and just stuck there.
Yeah, it won't pivot anymore.
We were walking under it. When I saw that episode, I thought that was so freaking hysterical because I was like, I was there. I did that.
You just needed him to yell that.
Yeah, right.
Every few seconds. Pivot!
Yeah, one of the. But that was great when the couch actually got stuck. Like, they couldn't move it anymore. It's just, yeah. And he's still yelling.
You know, just follow my lead.
Okay.
Come on, Charlie. Oh. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Turn.
Okay.
Turn. Turn.
I don't think we can turn anymore.
I just don't think it's gonna fit.
Oh yeah, it will. Come on, up, 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 up. Yes. Here we go. Pivot. 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 Pivot.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Okay, I don't think it's gonna pivot anymore.
You think?
All right, let's bring it back down and try again.
Okay. Okay. Okay, yeah, I think it's really stuck now.
I can't believe that didn't work.
I know, me neither. I mean, you had a sketch.
Oh, you know what? What did you mean when you said pivot?
Well, the other thing I want to bring up about Ross is the suntan thing, where he had the spray tan. He he's doing Mississippis. I think he had to do three Mississippis and then turn. Or three. He had to count to three and then turn. And he was throwing out Mississippis, but the guy was like, why would you do that? You know, and he ended up getting so much overspray on just his front side, and he didn't get any in the back, so he wasn't evened, and oh god, it was hilarious.
Yeah, oh wait, I am remembering the day he wore the leather pants on a date. Do you remember that episode?
I don't.
And oh no, you have to go see this, you have to look this one up. He gets a pair of leather pants, and you know, because he's trying to be cool or younger or something like that, and he goes on a date, and he starts to sweat because they're really hot. And then he can't get the pants off. And he's stuck in this girl's bathroom trying to get out of the pants. And they're stuck like halfway down. And he's calling, was he calling Chandler on the phone saying, how do I do this? How do I get out of it? And he was trying to like put, he said, well, try baby powder. Is there any powder? Is there lotion? And so he like made this paste of like powder and lotion. And it was just, it was a disaster. It was a disaster. Like, he was practically in tears trying to get out of the pants.
I just Googled it. So, season 5, episode 11. I'll have to watch that after we break here.
All right, well, spoiler. I kind of...
No. It's going to be still humorous. I know it will. Do you use Google a lot when you're looking stuff up?
Yeah.
Did you know that this weekend you can do... If you put... There are character names. There's like a certain thing that pops up and you can hit it and then it does something related to their character.
Really? On Google? I just have like this chick climbing Everest today.
Yeah. But if you Google, let's say Ross Geller, and there's going to be in the bottom, not the bottom right, but like to the right, there's like a little couch. When you click on the couch, it yells pivot and then the screen shifts left and right.
See what I tell you about the giggle.
Yep.
All right.
And then each character has their own thing that you can click on and do.
I don't know. You might have a different version or something. Oh no, wait, I see it. I see the couch.
Yes.
All right. I don't know if I should click it now. Should I click it? Go ahead. Look.
And then if you have your speakers up, yeah. If you have your speakers on, then you'll hear pivot. Okay. You do it three times, and now the couch breaks, and it says, "We can't pivot anymore." And then like Chandler, when you click on his thing, then you get like the duck and the chicken.
Duck and the chick.
Yes.
The duck and the chick.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I see. Now yep. I clicked on Rachel and I got like 15 different
The Rachel haircut, right.
Hairstyle. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Phoebe, you get smelly cat, you know, so it's fun. It's fun.
Okay, cool.
I don't know how long they're going to keep that going, but, you know, for the sake of our listeners, when they hear this episode, I'm hoping that it's still going on and you can do that.
Yeah. I hope so, because it's cute. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we talked about each character. We talked about our favorite moments. Is there anything else about Friends that you want to cover?
Let's see. I'd like to paint like all my walls purple. I think that's the most beautiful color apartment ever. That's my favorite color.
I would like to do a dining room set like that, where like no chair matches.
Right.
Yeah, that was so eclectic and smart and actually oddly very awesome. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah. I like that. And that kind of that related back to, you know, you're at a point in your life where you don't have furniture that matches.
Right.
You don't have like a real kitchen table. You have whatever was left over from the garage sale from, you know, the week that you moved in or what have you. So I think like the moment that I really consider myself a grown up was when I got a dining room set. Because grown ups eat in the dining room, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Only grown ups eat in the dining room. So that was kind of neat. And I don't know. Other than that, I recall that they were supposed to, I heard they were supposed to, or they wanted to use R.E.M.'s The End of the World as We Know It as the theme song, but they couldn't get the rights.
Oh, really?
But I just kind of, I had read that somewhere. And so they had somebody write a song that kind of had that R.E.M. kind of sound with jangly guitars and such. But in other words, you know, everything's falling apart, but I'm all right. I feel fine and I'll be there for you. So it was cool. It was a great way to just say, all right, my life is in chaos and I don't know what's going on with my career. And, you know, I'll get there someday. But in the meantime, we have each other.
Right.
So, you know, it was apropos.
I love the theme song. It falls into lined with, you know, iconic theme songs, you know, that are, you know, never get out of style with me. I never get tired of hearing them. And you can say the same thing for like the theme song for WKRP. You can say the same thing for the theme song for Cheers, you know, or The Greatest American Hero. Those goes in line with those, you know, and it just become iconic, you know. And you know, my wife, when we hear the Rembrandts, you know, I'll be there for you. She claps along, you know, when they get that one part of the song where, you know, she's there. And I'm like, you know, you go, girl.
No one told you that was gonna be this way. Job's a joke, you broke. Your love life's the old way. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, a week, a month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you.
Show recently, I swear, after a while, you know, you hear the theme song over and over and over again. I swear to God, I'd be, you know, at my computer and I'd get up to move somewhere and I kind of like in my head hear that little jangly guitar thing that goes on, you know, like when they go from scene to scene, It's like, oh my god, this is so ingrained in me. I'm like hearing buffer music as I move from the kitchen to the computer.
You're changing scenes.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I love it.
It's like, geez, I gotta stop watching. Gotta give it a rest.
That's pretty bad when you know the transition music, yeah. You know, for a exactly. for a specific series.
Oh my.
Good stuff.
Okay.
So I think that about covers us for Friends then. You know, I'm so glad that we were able to, you know, actually talk about it on the anniversary, 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
It's crazy that so much time has passed since when this show was introduced, but it's been so memorable. And as we talked about, it's even memorable to, you know, generations after us. And, you know, that shows the endearing qualities of this show. And I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, definitely. Especially since, I mean, there were hardly any, maybe toward the end, there were hardly any cell phones. There were just like, it was not about devices and technology. It was about people. And that's a nice thing. And it's kind of a time that isn't going to come back again, you know?
Yeah. Actually, if this was modern day Friends, then that group would be sitting on that couch at Central Perk, and they would be looking at their phones.
Yeah, everybody would be looking at screens.
Yeah, they'd be looking at their screens, right, yeah. And they'd be, you know, you would almost need to show the screen interactions because, you know, they're probably chatting with each other or in a group chat with other people that are not there. And that would be the humor part of it for a series about this generation.
That's true.
Yeah. So,
that's true.
So you would need to see the pop-up balloons, kind of like pop-up video from VH1, you know, to see what's going on their screens. God, absolutely love this show. Glad that we had the time to talk about it. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and remind our listeners how they can find you, Suzanne.
Ah, yes. SuzanneMatabone.com. I have a couple of blogs on there that I've been talking about some of these podcasts and other stuff from the 80s. And let's see, Suze Matabone on Twitter. It's MattaBoni. And Suzanne Matabone 80s on Instagram. So I've got some stuff from my archives from from decades past that I post on there and such. So that's me.
Yeah, I saw the one that you posted about Tom Cruise. Was that today or yesterday?
Was that yesterday? I think that was yesterday. Yeah, I was a big Tom Cruise head once.
Yeah, we might have to debate that. I don't have a lot of love for Mr. Cruise.
No, I don't anymore. But it go back to when I was in my 20s, and he was quite a big deal.
No, I know he was, but yeah, like I said, if we're going to go down a road that we don't need to go down to right now. but yeah, it could be a fun conversation, kind of like a point counterpoint. So this is the part where I remind everybody we have a website out there that's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BanzaiI. So go out there, check out our website. It has links to all our social media connections. We've got Twitter, we've got Tumblr, we've got Instagram, Facebook. So please go along and interact and follow along with us. If you want to shoot us an email, that's McFly@BanzaiRetroClub.com. We'd love to get your feedback and anything that you want to share with us. Maybe you have a different Friends moment that you want to share with me, and we can read it in a future episode. And then with all of that being said, I'd like to remind everybody to be excellent to each other. And just remember that we'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. We'll be there like I've been there before. We'll be there for you because you're there for me too. Yeah. Have a good whatever. Bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production. Banzai Danielson!
Hey, Banzai!
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 Banzai! I'm going to start off with a little song called Smelly Cat. Oh, for those of you who are wondering, this is my real voice. Smelly cat, smelly cat, what are they feeding you? Everybody!
Smelly cat, it's not your fault.
Monica!
They won't take you to the vet.
Chandler!
Obviously not their favorite pet.
Joey!
May not be a bed of roses.
Rachel!
You're not friends of those with noses.
Ross, those are the only lines we have, sorry. Okay. Back to the chorus, everybody.
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you? Smelly cat, it's not your fault.